Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hey, what's good? It's Blair Angulo once again, and welcome back to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, and leave a five-star review with your recruiting question for our team of analysts for a chance to get it answered on an upcoming mailbag episode. If you want to know more about your favorite team or a specific recruit or whether or not someone can flip down the road or the upcoming Elite 11 Finals, remember to pop in your question and add a five-star rating for a chance to get it answered on our upcoming mailbag episode. Also, if you're listening to the show directly on a 24/7 Sports website, you don't have to wait until it gets embedded on a message board or in an article. You can get the podcast the moment it comes out on your phone if you subscribe on Apple or Spotify, so please do that. We're about to check in with 24/7 Sports national analyst Charles Power to talk all things Elite 11 Finals after the roster was announced late last week. But before we get to that, let's begin with the kickoff. Could the third time be the charm for four-star defensive back Kamar Wilkerson? The IMG Academy prospect recently flipped his commitment from Tennessee to Florida, marking the third time he's been committed to the Gators. Yeah, that's right. One, two, three. That's three times he's been committed to the Florida Gators. Wilkerson first committed to Florida as a freshman, then backed off that verbal. He recommitted to Florida last summer after his sophomore year and since backed off that commitment. He then committed to Tennessee, and now he has kicked off this summer by recommitting to the Gators and flipping that pledge from the Vols. With about 6 months to go until the projected early signing period in December, Wilkerson does have more time for another twist and turn in this wild, wild recruitment. But no matter what happens next, this has already been one of the more eventful recruitments in the 2021 cycle. So it should be interesting to monitor, especially if the visit restrictions are lifted later this summer. So we'll be monitoring that. We'll be checking in on that. But already, we can already say three-time, and the Gators are hoping that it's the charm. Switching gears now, we are joined by national recruiting analyst Charles Power, 24/7 Sports. We're going to touch on the big news that came down last week, a roster announcement for the Elite 11, which kicks off in a week down in Tennessee. It's going to be a loaded event. It's going to be jam-packed with some of the nation's top quarterback prospects. Charles, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Blair. I'm looking forward to seeing some footballs in the air, I guess, in the next like week or so. So, yeah, I'm planning on being there for that event, and it should be a good one. I mean, like you said, a lot of top quarterbacks are on the roster for this event.
You know, events like this are so useful for the evaluation process, and they are a big tool when you go into some of these rankings meetings that we have, you know, when we're discussing, especially the quarterback position, when we're trying to differentiate certain traits, certain characteristics that these quarterbacks have. And, you know, I think it's very useful in an event like this with the way it's set up, where you get to see a quarterback take a rep and then you see a different quarterback take that same rep right after. And they're both trying to make that same throw to you know, a receiver that maybe is running out to the sideline or a post route or something where they have to get it over a level of a defense. You get to really get a feel for how each quarterback is different than the others. And then you can really kind of stack them up in a way. I think that's probably the most useful part of an event like this.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, and it's probably you know, I guess we should probably explain at least what we think the setup's going to be. So this is like the Elite 11 Finals, which is probably not to be confused with the opening finals, which is kind of typically the last, the last kind of part of this process in most years, which I'm assuming they probably aren't having that this year. That's the event that has all of the top prospects at other positions, and this one's going to be mainly quarterbacks. So I think we're probably going to see the quarterbacks throwing to more like local receivers. If we have DBs, it'll probably be local DBs, but so we probably won't have quite of the competitive 7-on-7 component to this. So I think your point, Blair, is probably even emphasized in that we will most likely have, it'll be like a lot of individual throwing, and we'll have maybe some of the pro day and 7-on-7 component, but probably not to the level that we would see in most years without the other top prospects at other positions, filling out the rest of the 7-on-7. So I think the just kind of, like you said, getting a feel for the arm talent, technical ability, the movement skills, and just kind of like how these guys just really like how they spin the ball, how they throw the football, side by side. Yeah, I agree that that'll probably be the biggest thing to take away from this.
But, so you were at a regional event, right? That was down. Yeah. Was it in Florida?
It was in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
I think it was the first one that they had. They only had ended up having a couple.
Yeah, and then I went to the one in Southern California. So we both got a real sense of what it was, right? Without, like you mentioned, without the 7-on-7 concepts, with that format where you have some of the nation's top defensive backs covering some of the top receivers and tight ends and some linebackers mixed in there as well. I think all of what we saw down in Southern California was routes on air, right? So there's no real defensive back presence. So you're kind of just noticing quarterbacks making these throws, but there's no real obstacle or roadblock right in front of them. But in the same sense, they were docking. So they have a point system, right? So they're docking you based on how catchable a football is, right? Or a certain pass, or you have to fit it through a window, or you have to get it, within arm's reach, or you have to lead the receiver. You can't throw it behind him. These are all things that they take into account, and the coaches at the Elite 11 are usually taking score right after every rep, and they're trying to I guess kind of keep a real statsy kind of a breakdown, right, when there isn't any defensive backs that could make it a win or a loss on a given rep. So that's going to be, I think, a very interesting setup, and I think that's one of the things that I'm really intrigued about and how they're going to measure some of these prospects. And the roster is loaded. We can go down the list here. I know, obviously, it's going to be, I think, very... I think the people are going to want to know who the top guy is in the country. And I think right now, Caleb Williams is a guy that has a lot of buzz and a lot of the attention in this 2021 class. Who can challenge him? Like when you're going into an event like this, are you thinking that Caleb is head and shoulders above everyone else? Or do you feel like there's a select group that can really push him for that number one spot?
Yeah. I think there's a group that could push him for sure. As maybe opposed to some prior years, I think there's a larger group in that tier entering the summer than maybe in the past. Last year without DJ Uiagalelei there, it was Bryce Young and then a kind of a gap. So I think this year it's probably a little more even across the board. I think Caleb Williams has some things to prove. He's obviously very talented, but probably didn't have quite the junior year production of your typical number one quarterback. So it's not like he comes into this or kind of comes out of his junior season without something to prove. But yeah, I mean, I in some of these, I've had varying exposure to some of these. So some of these guys, very familiar with Drake May, seen him several times. I've seen Brock Vandegrift within the past year, but have not seen Sam Heward. So I'm really looking forward to that. He's kind of one in that top group, in that I guess we have Caleb Williams in the top 10 in this next group after, kind of in the top 30, 40, Sam Huer, Drake May, Brock Vandegrift, J.J. McCarthy, Tyler Buchner. Those were probably the ones I would rattle off just as the ones that are immediately behind Caleb Williams. But yeah, I mean, you know, seeing Sam Huard first time, that would be kind of, I'm very intrigued by that. I saw Drake May in January and he was phenomenal, kind of, would want to see how he kind of backs up that performance. It was in a 7-on-7. So, you know, seeing him in a camp, and just kind of how he spins the ball, would be interested in that. Brock Vandegrift has gotten a good bit bigger. He's added a lot of muscle, kind of bulk, over the course of the past year. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he just kind of stacks up physically. And I think he, from all indications, he's kind of looks like a different player, at least physically. First look at J.J. McCarthy and Tyler Buchner. Blair, and I know we were talking about Tyler Buchner before we came on, and I think he's a really intriguing guy as well. Kind of seeing him in that same setting with a lot of national arms, and he's one that is definitely does not until his transfer this past offseason, is a guy who they never saw like a ton of competition. So I think seeing him, this could be an informative environment, seeing him in that kind of in that competitive sense against a lot of the top guys.
Right. Buchner, a 5-star in the 24/7 Sports composite, committed to Notre Dame from the San Diego area, and wasn't playing the competition that a lot of these other quarterbacks have played, So I had a lot of question marks about Tyler Buchner heading into the Elite 11 regional down in Southern California. He's also coming off an ACL injury, right? So he's had the knee issue that really slowed him down. So I had some question marks about his level of play, right? He's not going up against the best players. You look at his film and some of these guys that he's matching up against, 5'8", 5'9", they don't look like college football prospects. Right. But he's doing what he has to at that level. So you have to give him a lot of credit for dominating the way he has up to this point. Obviously, he's going to move over to Helix in also in the San Diego area. So he's going to take a step up, and this is going to be a nice – I think opportunity for him to gain some more confidence heading into that season with an event like this, where he's going to be going up against some of the nation's top quarterbacks and really, have a chance to not only prove himself, but really show that, hey, it's unfortunate that I haven't played the competition that you guys are playing, but I'm just as good as anyone out here. And I thought he was very impressive at Elite 11 in Los Angeles. Probably the top prospect there. I thought, I love his mobility outside the pocket. That's another thing that I really like about an event like this. Not only are these guys stationary and they're going rep after rep after rep and taking their turns, but the drills are really... they give you a really good sense of overall athleticism, right? They roll these guys out to their right. They roll these guys out to their left. They make them make some off-platform throws, some flat-footed throws, some on-the-run off, wrong foot throws. There's so much variance in the type of throw. And sometimes a guy looks really good in one drill, and then there's another one where you're like, oh, he cannot roll to his left at all.
Right, yeah.
But Buchner, to his credit, he looked special. Like he has the athleticism to be able to make any throw on the run. I really like his touch. He's got good arm strength, not elite arm strength, but I think it's really good. And I think Notre Dame fans should be really excited heading into the Elite 11 as Buchner hopes to continue to prove what he's about. I wanted to get back to Sam Huard. He's committed to Washington, a local boy from the state of Washington, has been on the radar for so long, has been committed for a long time. I think has slowed his buzz in a way, right? When you're an uncommitted prospect, and especially at the quarterback position, I think your buzz builds. And we saw that with CJ Stroud last year, who ended up signing with Ohio State, went into the Elite 11, took the roof off the building. I think he had a tremendous summer. It catapulted him to having even more and more offers. And I think his stock just raised because he was uncommitted in a way. A guy like Sam Huard, I think, affects him because he's kind of in the back of everyone's mind by now, right? Mm-hmm. He's forgotten and all that. When you go into an event like this, after seeing Sam Huard on film for the last couple of years, seeing the kind of throws that he's making, seeing some of the reps that he takes in 7-on-7 and during the circuit summer camp, events, when you go into this, what are you looking for specifically with a guy like him where you feel like you know a lot about?
Yeah. I think it's just adds an extra, kind of lens to view these guys through. I think, you know, it's important to maybe not, to view this properly and kind of, in our heads, we all kind of assign weight to certain things and certain aspects maybe stick with us longer than others. For me, this would be my first in-person impression of Sam Huard. But hopefully we'll get to see these guys again, further down the line, and we'll see them in All-Star games, stuff like that. So this really just kind of is a chapter of the evaluation process. At least most years it is. This season it would be more important because we aren't going to have the regionals, and who knows what's going to happen with the season. So I think it's important to view all that in the right context. This year might mean a little more than typical years. I think with Sam Huard, each guy kind of has some things that I think, you could probably go down the list and pick out some areas that you would want to see. Sam Huard is one where I think he moves around pretty well in terms of just like his ability, like his mobility with the pocket to move, but he's a guy who doesn't really run for a lot of yards. So I for me, it would be, in addition to just kind of getting an overall picture of him, just throwing the ball around for the first time, I think seeing how he moves, getting an idea for how he moves. I mean, I think he only had, 81 rushing yards this year. Didn't run a ton either. So just kind of getting an idea for the mobility. But I think there's each guy has questions. No one is without questions entering this event. So I think it adds just a good lens to view it. And with it being in person, it kind of eliminates any kind of film guesswork or, you aren't watching a highlight video, so you can see a little, you get to see the good and the bad with each guy too, which I think certainly helps.
Right. We are joined by Charles Power. He's a national analyst for 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Power. We're going to take a short break. We're going to continue the conversation about the Elite 11 finals coming up next week. You are listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back on the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast, joined by Charles Power, national analyst for 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Power. Charles, let's continue our talk about the Elite 11 Finals, a preview of sorts heading into what could very well be the premier event of the summer. Every year, right, the opening finals is the big evaluation event. It's where a lot of these prospects go to try to get that fifth star, or there's those five-star prospects that go in there trying to prove that they are the best in the country and trying to move up in the rankings. As much as these recruits and these players say that rankings don't matter and stars don't matter, I think we all know, you and I get messages, right, about players wanting to maybe get a bump up from 3 to 4 or from 4 to 5, or wondering when they're going to move up in the top 24/7. So they care about this stuff. And it's always good to see players go into events like this with that mindset, right? Where they're hoping to prove something, or they're hoping that they belong, or that they're better than maybe someone else. I think the quarterback position too is a bit interesting in that regard, right? I think all these guys have a little bit of ego. You know, a lot of them are really good kids and they all want to be a leader, right? They're considered kind of that head of the football team, especially the offensive side. They are the voice and kind of the face of a program when they get to the college football ranks. But all these guys, I think they want to show that they are the guy. That's going to be a very interesting thing to kind of see that dynamic, right? When guys are all matched up with alphas and they're all trying to kind of prove that they're the top dog.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I think we might have seen this maybe a little more with this cycle than in some in the past, especially with the way, you know, quarterback recruiting is very accelerated, and we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks were committed prior to their junior season, and you had teams that kind of had to, you know, formulate their boards early and you know, take some prioritize some of these guys over some of the others. So you wonder if there's, like, you know, a little bit of a chip on some of these guys' shoulders trying to perform against ones who were kind of prioritized by other programs ahead of them. So I think that's an interesting component that you brought up, Blair. But yeah, I think the competitive aspect is certainly informative. You know, seeing how guys get out there and respond to adversity, because I think everybody, you know, people always say baseball is a sport of failure. Well, I mean, quarterback's definitely a position of failure. I think everybody's going to experience some adversity. And when you look at NFL quarterbacks, the guys who are the starters, there's a high percentage of guys who make it to that level and definitely succeed at that level that have had some adversity in their career, some roadblocks. And there's definitely a high factor of ones who have something to prove. So I think it's a positive when you're looking at guys in the position. It's obviously really highly competitive, and you need to kind of have that drive. So I think that's a, you know, interesting component of this. You know, from our perspective, I think it's always important to not overestimate stuff we don't see, but I think if we can see that in this setting, it can definitely help a lot.
Without a doubt, I really enjoy the setting and the environment that it creates. You know, we talked about earlier about how some of these quarterbacks are taking rep after rep after each other. So let's say JJ McCarthy steps up and makes an amazing back shoulder throw to the sideline, and the receiver makes the catch and everyone's pumping him up. The other quarterbacks are just blown away by that throw. You know, and then Ty Thompson, the Oregon commit from Arizona, has to take the rep right after, and he has to replicate that same throw, but maybe put a little bit more juice on it or make it a little bit more catchable. I think when you look at those little microcosms, those little aspects of it, you know, how he embraces the moment, those are all things that I really cherish when I'm evaluating a quarterback specifically, right? You're looking at the guy that has that it factor. And these are the moments that provide us the ability to have an inside look at maybe some of the character of some of these guys, what drives them, how they go about their business, you know, whether or not they're lax or quiet, but focused. Those are all things that I think you have to take into account, especially at the quarterback position, because it's so pivotal to have some of those intangibles, right? Some of the other aspects of you know, the kind of being a good college football player. On the topic of JJ McCarthy, you touched on it earlier. These are some of the players that have been committed so long because the quarterback position just moves at a rapid pace when it comes to recruiting. He's been committed to Michigan since May of 2019. So it's been over a year that he's made his announcement that he will be playing for the Wolverines. So, you know, obviously Michigan fans are so excited about the prospect of him getting on campus and competing for the spot right away. He's a five-star in the composite, a top 15 prospect nationally in the composite. You know, when you go into an event like this, when you've seen JJ McCarthy on film, similarly to you know, Sam Heward, what kind of things are you going to be looking for with him specifically?
Yeah, so I think the thing with JJ McCarthy, you know, first off, I think he had when we were going through, you know, ranking these 2021 quarterbacks, I think he had one of the better, if not the best, sophomore season of all of these. And obviously the degree of importance of that, you know, lessens as we get more, you know, the junior season, obviously the senior season. But I thought he was really good as a sophomore, leveled off a little bit as a junior. Kind of the biggest question around JJ McCarthy, just really from the jump, has kind of been how he stacks up with everyone else on these other top quarterbacks in terms of, you know, physical ability. When I say that, I mean like, you know, stature, arm strength, you know, how translatable is he from a physical perspective? So that's one of the main things I'll be looking for, and this will be my first chance to see him. So, you know, just kind of how he compares with the top quarterbacks in that regard. And, you know, just, I guess his overall accuracy, taking care of the ball, stuff like that, a lot of the general things that may be questions that aren't dissimilar to kind of what we'll see from a lot of these other guys. But like I said earlier, I think each guy kind of enters this with maybe some specific skill set or, you know, performance things that I think this will certainly, you know, kind of lend some, you know, some background for, and just a different way to kind of assess what they showed in high school. Cause, you know, I think the spread offense has made it easier to evaluate quarterbacks, at least from a performance perspective. But kind of on that note, and like we mentioned with Tyler Buchner and some others, you know, they're different. Everybody's in not in the same situation, so different levels, you know, different coaches, you know, competition. So this, I think the best thing about this is it puts everybody in the same playing field. So I think viewing JJ McCarthy in that context against these other top arms will be pretty informative. So I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, and there will be an Ohio State commit there as well with Kyle McCord. So Those are always some interesting battles, right? When you have
no doubt a
rival going up against a future rival, and you start to kind of see some of the competitiveness that both of them have. I want to go back to a thing that you mentioned earlier with the potential guys that could push for that number one spot and you know, maybe combat Caleb Williams, who right now is slotting in that position. One of the guys is North Carolina commit Drake May. You know, you've mentioned it, you've been on record that North Carolina can build a top five class in state, right? They've done such a tremendous job of recruiting in state. Drake May is one of those guys. He checks a lot of the boxes. I was reading over the weekend a really good piece, a really good breakdown by our own Steve Wiltfong, the director of recruiting for 24/7 Sports. And he mentioned that Drake May checks a lot of boxes, is physically gifted, has all the tools that you look for in a potential five-star prospect. And when you go to an event like this, I think those are the things that can set him apart, right? Because he's going to look the part, but can he go throw for throw with some of the top players?
Yeah, Drake May is interesting. And I probably have seen more of him than anyone else in this group. And so I first saw him at the Charlotte Regional last year, and I'll be honest, like, he was pretty rusty. He is a guy who, you know, plays a lot of basketball. His brother, for those who don't know, it was Luke May, who was on North Carolina's national championship team several years ago, Final Four team. And so he's a guy who really kind of has emerged as a football first guy, but was heavily on the AAU circuit early on. Definitely could have been a Division I basketball player had he wanted to. So when I saw him at that event, he was pretty rusty. Like, you could tell he hadn't been throwing a lot. And so I saw him. He had a great junior season, probably the best statistically, the best junior season from a passing standpoint of any 2021 quarterback, or at least guys that played kind of that level of competition. And so great junior year. And then I saw him at a 7-on-7 in January, and I'd always heard, he's relatively local to me, and I'd always heard several people that I trust that have, like, opposing high school coaches that have gone against him in these, 7-on-7 tournaments at, like, kind of like high school, at the high school level. And, people had always said he's really good in 7-on-7. And I mean, I was kind of blown away by how good he was in January. And they were playing against a team that had, you know, I think an entire Power 5 secondary. He was playing against Cam Newton 7-on-7 team from Georgia, and he really picked them apart. So I think just with Drake May, a lot of people would see kind of his background in high school and assume he's super polished, and he's really not. So he's a guy who I think has a lot of physical upside and will benefit from kind of making that transition to being a football-only player, athlete. But I think he certainly has some things that he can continue to clean up, and you know, seeing how the ball comes out of his hand, how he spins the ball with all of these reps. It wouldn't surprise me if he's a guy who gets better as the week progresses. And I know he's really good in live settings, but you know, just kind of seeing how he improves, continues to improve mechanically, kind of once he starts to focus on football. Because yeah, I really think he's relatively raw, which might point to some, you know, some upside. But I'm eager to see how he stacks up with a lot of these quarterbacks who are probably, some of them are probably a little more trained from like a, you know, private quarterback coach standpoint than he is. So I'm kind of interested to see how he stacks up with those guys.
Yeah, guys that are a bit more refined, that maybe practice all these little drills and the intricacies of what an event like this entails, right? The five-step drop, going out of the shotgun, but also doing some footwork stuff that, you know, some guys aren't familiar with a lot of the concepts and a lot of the things that they have to learn in a very short amount of time at an event like this to really get things down and really go up to par and up to speed with maybe some other guys. We are joined by Charles Power. He's a national analyst for 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Power. Charles, before we let you go, there are a few other guys that could continue their rise. These are guys that maybe were ranked lower or weren't on the radar as much as they are now. Caden Salter is one of them from the state of Texas, committed to Tennessee this offseason. And then Ty Thompson is another one, a four-star prospect from the state of Arizona who's committed to Oregon. Both of them had made their decisions this past spring. We got a chance to see them out here out west. I saw Caden Salter at the battle event in Las Vegas in early February, and he was really good. I remember taking video of him and sending that over to our website to get it on his profile, and just noticing some of the throws he was making. You know, he has really good arm talent. I think the ball comes out of his hand seamlessly and mm-hmm. effortlessly, and he's really smooth through all that. He made a big jump in our rankings in the top 24/7, obviously had garnered offers from all over the country, announced that he was going to be playing his ball for the Vols. And a guy like this is definitely one that it goes in there already on the radar, but could continue to shoot up the rankings.
Yeah, for sure. I think we both kind of came away with the same impression of Caden Salter. I saw him at an event maybe like a week or two before you did and thought the same thing. And he's a guy who, like, I think some years he might have had a quicker rise with a full camp circuit, but just given how good he looked in the 7-on-7 setting. But yeah, he's a guy who really is, it's just pretty throwing the ball. He's got, like you said, a strong arm, kind of got some twitchy arm strength, spins the ball exceptionally well. Everything is pretty consistent mechanically, good athlete. So I think the big thing with Caden Salter is just kind of, you know, throwing him in this competitive environment and seeing, you know, the accuracy level of consistency. We know he can throw it, you know, he can throw it over the mountain, but, you know, just seeing, throw to throw the consistency. And I think that also applies to Ty Thompson, you know, a guy who shows a lot of arm talent at the high school level, you know, the Oregon commit, pretty prolific passer out in Arizona. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing, you know, his consistency. He's a guy, when you look at his high school stats, he's definitely very productive from a raw standpoint in terms of the overall numbers he puts up. But you know, probably I think after Caleb Williams is the second lowest completion percentage. So just kind of seeing, you know, getting a feel for the ball placement and accuracy. Because I really think, like, accuracy is one of the things, it's one of the areas that is kind of difficult to improve. Some of this, you can't judge accuracy straight off of completion percentage. A lot of that is can be offense and whatnot. It does provide a little bit of a glimpse, but seeing the guys in this setting will really kind of give you a better sense for their anticipation, feel, ball placement, and I think that's something that is pretty endemic in a trait that you rarely see get better as they go up level. So I think that would be kind of, you know, something that I'm looking for with Ty Thompson and just the overall consistency with Thompson and Salter. I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. Decision making, getting the ball out quickly, you know, leading receivers, all that sort of stuff, the smaller details, because anyone could really make that throw, right? Especially at this level where you're at the Elite 11 finals. So you're there for a reason, but can you make that extra little detail and take it over the top?
Yeah, and Blair, I thought you made a good point earlier in that, you know, some of these drills, throws, scenarios they're put in can be exposing. So, you know, we see some things in this setting because there's so many throws. I just remember kind of taking note at the regional I was at. One benefit, you know, like there wasn't a pass rush, there was no DBs. Like a lot of that is not as ideally applicable. But one thing you do notice is if a guy is throwing the ball behind and low, like you're going to pick up on that pretty quick. So that was, I think that's one, you know, positive we can draw out of this kind of just from a evaluation standpoint. It just provides a closer look at stuff like that, that you might not see in a live game where they're throwing 30 passes and half of them are behind the line of scrimmage. So it's a larger sample, kind of getting a better picture on how precise they are for sure.
Right. And there's a whole nother layer to this, and this might be a separate podcast that we can do at some point, but the recruiting ramifications that an event like this has, right? Like let's say Sam Heward goes in there, wins the Elite 11. That's a little extra ammo for Washington there to try to keep Emeka Egbuka home, right? Or if Kyle McCord wins it and you know, he's the guy at Ohio State, or JJ McCarthy or whoever it may be, Ty Thompson, Caden Salter, all these guys, if they rise in the rankings, if they make that push for the number one spot in the Elite 11, you can bet that there will be graphics sent out by some of these college programs. You can bet that they will be telling their offensive recruits, that the offensive linemen that they will be blocking for that top quarterback, the receivers, the running back, all those guys. There's just so many other layers to an event like this where there's marquee names and marquee programs represented that is going to allow these college coaches to then make an extra recruiting pitch.
Oh, no doubt. And I think, you know, we see this both on a daily basis, following recruiting like we do, covering recruiting like we do. Colleges are looking for anything, any kind of material right now to use as a recruiting tool. And without, you know, a lot of years we would have the other top prospects, a lot of the skill players would be at this event with a quarterback. So you would have kind of the in-person recruiting going. But I think this, with it just being quarterbacks, it allows the colleges to kind of craft their own narrative. So it will be interesting, I think, seeing kind of what comes out of this. And there's no doubt there'll be information and graphics all generated for sure. So that'll kind of be a fun offshoot of next week.
Well, it's been fun, Charles. I really appreciate you hopping on and giving our listeners kind of an inside look, a behind the curtains look at what you will be looking for when you're down in Nashville at the Elite 11 Finals. And we're going to have to get you back on early next month to recap everything and kind of hear your thoughts about how things went down there.
Sounds good, boy. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so that's Charles Power. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Power. He is a national analyst for 24/7 Sports. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.